Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to the Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC, and we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Apostle Speaks. At this time, we'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
God. Again, we're waiting on our speaker for this morning. In the meantime, I will play another selection. Amen. Praise be to God.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen.
God. For the Bible says in Romans 10, 14 through 15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. At this time, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with a mighty word from God. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed, Evangelist Hilda. How are you this morning?
Blessed, thank you. Praise be to God.
Amen. It looks like a beautiful day today.
Yes, I hope so. I don't know.
They're talking
about rain, so who knows?
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah. We're going to have communion today, right? We're going to look forward
ma'am.
To communion.
Every
Isn't
first
that beautiful?
Saturday. Yes.
Yeah, we're speaking of communion with the Easter. You know, we're celebrating Easter for Christ. You know, they have to do with Christ. I thought it was so wonderful, you know, that we're celebrating communion. We're having communion, and we're also celebrating his resurrection.
Amen.
You know,
praise
I thought that was so beautiful. It's all coupled together, like, you know.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. I just want to say good morning to our radio listeners out there. We just want to acknowledge you, and we hope that all is well with you and your family. Amen. We just want to let you know that our visionary Apostle Wiggins and his lovely wife, they send you their love and their greetings. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God, because we're going to be celebrating a communion today, and also we're celebrating Easter. Amen. Praise God. So we just thank God that He have turned you into this radio station today. Amen. Praise God. So we just ask that all we ask God. We send you our prayers, and we hope that all is well with you and your family. Amen. Praise God. And I just want to thank Evangelist Hilda for all that she's doing on this radio station, how she's keeping everything up and running. Amen. From Tuesday to Saturday. Amen. She keeps everything up and running. She also comes on with a sweet hour of prayer during the week, and she also brings a sermon. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
God.
And we thank God for the lessons that we get on Tuesday and Wednesday. Amen. The lessons that we get on Tuesday and Wednesday. And I also want to give a shout out to our host, Sister Barbara. Amen. And she's going to be on right after I come off. When I finish with this sermon, she's going to come on
Amen.
With some beautiful poetry.
Yes.
And also talk in the sanctuary with Pastor Kathy DuVos and her husband. Amen.
Amen.
So they're going to be on after at the end of this program. They're going to be on. Amen. So you don't want to miss it. Amen. And I also want to give a shout out to Apostle Jackson and Dr. V. Turner, both of them, their ministries, and also their families. We hope that all is well with them and their family and their ministries. Amen. And also Prophetess Washington. Amen.
Amen.
And you know what I'm going to say right now. Amen. We're going to talk to Father God right now, because, you know, he likes to be acknowledged and recognized.
Amen.
And we just want to let Father God know how much we love, appreciate, and adore him, and the wonderful gift that he's given us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. That we are going to be celebrating tomorrow. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so wherever you are, you could be in this country or any other part of the world. Amen. You could be in Russia, you could be in China, you could be in India, Africa, the Caribbean, Britain, England, Brazil, France, wherever you are. Wherever you are, if you're hearing the sound of my voice right now, we're going to come together as one. Why? Because when Jesus comes back, that's what he's coming back for, a church without a spot or a wrinkle. He's coming Amen. Back for one body.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus God. Is the chief cornerstone of the church. He is the foundation.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And so we're going to bow right now as I say this short prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank
yes.
you
thank
for
you.
The warmth of the sunlight, for the refreshing breezes that blow, and for the beauty of the world in which we live.
Yes.
We thank you for life, health, and friends. We thank you for your grace and mercy towards us, which you have revealed to us and towards us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. We thank you for you come down in the flesh, Father God. We thank you for the gift that you have given us, Father God, so that we can come to you and have a personal and intimate relationship with you. Father God, we thank you for Jesus, Father God, when we come into your kingdom, that we are under grace. We thank you for all that he suffered on the cross, Father God, to bring us to this point today, Father God. So we just thank you for everything, Father God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your unconditional love, your favor, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for everything, Father God. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the leading of the Holy Spirit. But most of all, we thank you, Father God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
So right now, I'm just going to sing a song, amen. That has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The spotlight is on him. Well, the spotlight is always on Jesus. Amen. But it's more a spotlight today because of his shed blood at Calvary and because God rose him from the dead.
Yes.
Amen. He was Amen. Resurrected. Amen. So if you know the song, you can sing it along with me. And if you don't know it, then you can just listen to the words of the song. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. Your only son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, you are the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in your precious blood, for you become the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod, and to be called the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in your precious blood, and sacrifice the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod, and to be called the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in your precious blood, for you become the Lamb of God. Praise God, for you become the Lamb of God.
It's so beautiful.
Imagine what would have happened if he didn't become the Lamb of God. Amen?
Amen.
So we thank God for that. We thank God that God had sent his gift and his only begotten son. We thank God that for all that he suffered on the cross, that he died on the cross, and that God raised him from the dead. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God. So right now I'm getting ready to go into this word today. Amen.
Praise God.
And before I go into this word, I'm going to say a short, but I thank you for giving me another opportunity to speak a word into your people's lives today. And Father God, I ask you to protect that word, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So as I go forth today with the leading of the Holy Spirit, may it be all of you and none of me. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. My scripture reading today is coming from Romans. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. That's Romans 8, 35 through 39, where it says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the pandemic, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the earth above, in the sky above, or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And we just thank God for that wonderful word, the inspired word of God. Amen. Praise God. Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, let us confront what some believe to be the greatest verse of Scripture in the Bible. Let each of us examine John 3:16, and let us relate our heart and life to the greatest news about God that the human ear can ever hear. By confronting the good news of John 3:16, we may discover our personal worth. Amen?
Amen.
By studying our text, we become informed concerning the high cost of our wonderful salvation from sin. Salvation from sin is the free gift of God to those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We cannot purchase it with money. We cannot merit it with a life of moral excellence. However, its freeness to us does not mean that it did not cost God something. It cost him heaven's best, the life of his precious son. Amen?
Amen.
So my text for today is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Have everlasting life. And my title is The Good News of God's Great Love. The Good News of God's Great Love. Amen. Praise God. Let us confront the good news in our text in order that we may discover that there is hope for us as we face each new tomorrow. Amen. Right now, we're coming out of this pandemic. Amen. And we're facing tomorrow, amen, and what tomorrow is going to bring, amen. Not only has God loved us in the past, but the scriptures teach us that nothing in the past, present, or future can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And like I said, this is coming from Romans chapter 8, verses 35 39. God loves us because it is his nature to love. His nature, his love for us in the future will not be determined by how lovable we are. We can face the future without any fear of the possibility of the withdrawal of divine love. Amen.
Amen.
The withdrawal of divine love. Because as we saw in Hosea, that God had taken his love away from Israel because they were going after idols. They were serving other gods. They were serving Baal Peor. Amen. They had turned their eyes away from God, but God still loved them anyway. Even though God even said he hated them and everything, his arms are still holding out to Israel. Amen. When the last man comes into God's kingdom, then God will bring Israel back because he had blinded them because they kept turning their back on him. In the good news of our text, we may find an explanation for some of the mysteries of life. The disciples of our Lord could not even begin to comprehend why he was going to die. They couldn't comprehend it. They were incapable of comprehending the full extent of God's love for them. There are many things that cannot be understood at the moment. Some of these happen because God's love is at work. and we will be able to understand these mysterious things only from the perspective of history. Amen?
Amen.
Because we don't understand everything, standing from the perspective of history. Because if we knew everything and we understood everything, we would need God. Amen?
Amen.
God is the only one that knows all things. You know, we know some things. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times what we know is like a drop in the bucket. Amen?
Amen.
The good news of John 3:16 reveals the reason for our being and the purpose of our lives. God has poured out his love on us in order that through us he might love that he might love others. Amen. Through us God might love others, others that he have chosen from the foundations of this world. But God is no respecter of persons. Even though you might not have been chosen from the foundations of the world because he already knows what your heart is, he still loves you anyway.
Right.
And he's no respecter of persons. He still rains down gifts on you and blesses you like he does other people. Amen?
Amen.
Because he's no respecter of persons. Even though you turn your back on him. And maybe some of you don't even believe that there is a God. The good news about God contained in the text explains the reason for the existence of the church in the world today. We are to be a light to the world, amen, an example of God's great love. God continues to love the world. God continues to seek out sinful people that he might have them, that he might save them from sin. He is doing this through his church, because the church is the chosen instrument for the proclamation of this good news. It deserves our love and our loyalty.
Yes.
The church is our love and our loyalty. In fact, we are the church. We who are in Christ, we who are in the kingdom, we are the church. The church is not a building. It's not a building. It's a sacred building that we worship in, but we are the church. Amen? We are the church. So right now we're going to look at God's great concern for us. God has shown his concern through his speech, through the scriptures. His speech through the scriptures that shows his concern for us. And that he's even sent his only begotten son, that we can have a right to the tree of life, that we can be under grace. We don't have to bring a sacrifice. We don't have to bring an animal. Amen. And at that time, this was only for the Israelites. It wasn't for the Gentiles at that time.
Right.
But God made a way through Paul, when Paul was on the road to Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus came to Paul on the road to Damascus, he made a way for the Gentiles. Amen?
Amen.
God has shown his concern through his actions in history. Look how long the Bible has been out. Amen. Look how long, his word has been out. Or these 2,000 years, the word has been still, and it's still here after all that time. The word is still here. God chose Israel as his instrument, God has had been patient with Israel despite Israel's unfaithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and when God could no longer use Israel as an instrument, he made an other ways. He made a new covenant. You see, he had an old covenant. When things weren't going right in the old covenant, and Israel was going after other gods, he finally made a new covenant. Amen. He made a new covenant. God's command to the prophet Jonah illustrates his concern for the lost world, because he was sending Jonah to Nineveh to warn them. He was sending Jonah, but Jonah was running, like some of us today when God gives us an order and he's trying to send us to do something. You know what I mean? Some of us don't want to do it, or we're running in another direction, or we say, oh, is that really God? You know what I mean? We want to do what we want to do. Some of us want to do what we want to do. We don't want to do it. We don't want to obey God and do what he wants us to do.
That's right.
God has shown his concern through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. His concern and his love, because he doesn't want that any should perish. You see, he don't want any should perish, because if he didn't intervene with his son, all of us would be going to hell. Amen. We all would be going to hell. But he gave us a choice. He gave us a choice. God has shown his concern through the sufferings of his son on the cross. Because while his son suffered on the cross, God was pleased to crush him for the world. Amen. And he was God who came down in the flesh. So God was feeling it. He was feeling that suffering and everything. You know what I mean? Because he came down in human form. So he was, whatever was happening to him on that cross, that he was being nailed to the cross, they pierced him in his side. Mm-hmm. And they gave him vinegar to drink. He was feeling all of that.
Yeah.
For hours in agony for the world. Amen.
Amen.
In agony for the world. And Jesus was saying, "Could let this cup pass from me." You know, because he was in agony. He was in agony. You know what it is when you're in agony? You know what I'm saying? But thank God that agony is only but for a moment. It seemed like a long period of time, but it's only for a moment. Amen. It's only for a moment. So God has shown us good news of his love for us through the sufferings of his fatherly heart. Amen. Because, I mean, if you see your child suffering, isn't it really hard for you not to do something for your child that's suffering?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Jesus was God's son. He was still God that came down in flesh, but he was God's son. You know what I mean? But he let him suffer. Because, like I said before, because he wanted to give the world a chance. People in the world a chance, a right, give them an opportunity to choose him rather than choosing the devil and hell. Amen.
Amen.
God has shown his concern through his patient waiting for people to return from the far country. The parable that is often called the parable of the prodigal son is actually the parable of the waiting father. The prominent person in the parable is not the son who went astray. It is the father who waited with a longing heart to welcome the wayward son home.
Amen.
And that's what he does with all of us. He did that with Israel. And we inside the kingdom and outside the kingdom, because a lot of times we in the kingdom, we stray away from God.
Yes.
And he still has his arms open waiting for us to come back, waiting for us to repent of our sins. Some of us don't repent. We keep on doing the same thing. You know what I mean? So inside the kingdom and outside the kingdom, he still has his arms open waiting for us to come to him.
Amen.
Amen. To make a choice whether we want to be with him or be with the devil. Amen.
Amen.
So now we're going to look at crisis concern for us. We're going to look at crisis concern for us. His concern can be seen in his perfect self-forgetfulness, because when he was on the cross, mm-hmm. and they was mm-hmm. doing all these things to him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
His loving concern can be seen in his perfect humility as he went about his task. He didn't brag that, well, you know what, I'm God's son. He did talk about it, but he didn't talk about it like he was bragging about it. He talked about it in humility. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Like some of us, if we had that title and everything, imagine what we would be doing. Broadcasting it to the world, you know what I mean? how great we are and all of that. He didn't do that. Christ's loving concern can be seen in attitude of forgiveness towards those who nailed him to the cross. See? Mm-hmm. He said, like I said before, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ revealed the measure of his concern by his persistent efforts to save the very worst of people, mm-hmm. like the woman at the well. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Different women that he encountered, the one at mm-hmm. the well who had five husbands. You know what I mean? The one where his disciples were talking about that she was a prostitute, and why was God talking to her? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And God told him, he said, if whoever don't have no sin, cast the first stone. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Because we all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory.
Yes, we
do. Not just one person. Amen. All of us have sinned. Sometimes we're pointing to somebody else, and we really need to take that finger and point it back to ourselves.
Amen.
Because we forgive our sins.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? We don't even look at our stuff, what we did. We're busy looking at somebody else.
Uh-huh.
Christ reveals the measure of his concern by his persistent habit of always seeing the best in others.
Yes.
Amen. He always sees the best in others.
Yes, he does.
So my conclusion is God's great concern for us was greater than his concern for the comfort of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about it, that while Christ was on the cross, I know Christ was uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? But he was there for a purpose. Christ was there for a purpose. And when he gave up the ghost, you know what I'm saying? God raised him from the dead. Amen. God was willing to suffer and sacrifice in order that he might save people from the ravages of sin.
Mm-hmm.
God's concern for a lost world should move his children today to engage in evangelical and missionary activities. Amen.
Amen.
Will others discover the measure of God's great love for them through our love for those about us? It will be exceedingly difficult for us to give an effective witness to the love of God unless we let God's love express itself through us in ministry to those who are in need in the world today. Amen. In other words, we are an example. When they see us, they should see Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. So I hope you enjoyed this message today, and I now turn it over to Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. Praise God. We want to thank Apostle Mother Wiggins for that wonderful word. I think that deserves a hand clap praise. Amen. So before we have Apostle Mother Wiggins give us the call to salvation and the benediction, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. How are you all doing?
Blessed. Thank you.
Praise God.
This morning. Hey.
Glory to God. But God.
But God.
Amen. This is a poem that I wrote March 25th, about 9:20. I didn't put AM or PM, so I'm going to. Say AM because I don't know, but it doesn't even matter. The name of it is While Becoming, and I'll say that again. While becoming, make nice. When you're nice to me, I feel nice. I feel like passing it toward, when you're nice to me, I feel nice. I feel like passing it forward to others. It's a way that makes one say, I'm so glad we had that encounter. Kind begets kind. When you're angry and nasty to me, I feel angry and nasty. I feel like passing it forward to others. It's a way that makes one say, why do we keep hurting each other this way? Kind begets kind. We believe in God, or so we profess. Why do these emotions continue to surface? As believers, we have a glorious Heavenly Father who loves us. Jesus said to give him all our burdens. He'll carry them. But why does it seem we can't be nice and kind to one another? Kind begets kind. People are kinder to outsiders, to complete, total strangers, but they act as though they don't care about each other. Did you ask your mother? Be kind. It's time. As a matter of fact, it's really overdue. Be nice. Yeah, I've said it at least twice. Be nice to yourself. Be nice to you. Then you can get that overwhelming sensation, revelation, that when you're nice to that familiar other, the feeling comes back to you. Kind begets kind. Love, like, be nice, happy, be kind. It's divine. Reach out. Then help someone else. In so doing, you help yourself. Be flexible and bend. And when all is said and emotions are spun, have evolved, you'll become a better person. Becoming who God would have you to be, nobody said it would be easy. With the Holy Spirit, I know it's possible. Take you out of the equation and add the Son of God. He's awesome. Becoming nice, remember, kind begets kind. Selah. My scripture comes from the King James Version, Philippians 4:13-14, where it reads, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. The word of Lord, the Lord is already blessed. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. That was really beautiful.
Wow. Right on point.
Like you said,
kind
to
one another. Yes.
Yes. You know, how you treat somebody else. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you want to treat others like you want to be treated, you know?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it comes back to you.
Blessing comes back to you.
It comes back to you.
That's right.
You pay it forward, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it's not,
that's right.
It's not grievous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much time?
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And sometimes you encounter people and they think that you're not going to be maybe they're not exactly kind and they act a certain way, and they expect you to come back the same way. And then when you come back kind, you know what I'm saying? They're shocked. I've met people that be shocked, you know.
Oh yeah,
because I know they expect me to come back a certain way. I don't come back
absolutely.
That way.
Absolutely.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? So they don't know what to. It's like they don't know how to take that. You know what I mean? They're waiting for me to come back the way they came back. I don't come back the way they come back.
They're looking for a fight.
You know?
They want to deny you something, you know, since they got the authority,
right.
Maybe. You know, and so they come off nasty. They want you to retort the same way, but you come off nice. And
that's
sometimes
right.
That might even put a smile on their face. And turn their demeanor around. They'll be nice to you.
That's
they
right.
Are so in shock.
That's true. That's true.
Amen.
That's very true. Yeah.
Amen.
So in other words, it's like you reap what you sow. Or you sow, what does the Bible say?
Yeah.
You reap.
That's
you know
true.
What I'm saying? So if you,
so
if the Bible even says if you follow after evil, then evil will follow after you.
All right. All right.
You know. Yep, so we don't want to do that.
No,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Kathy. We're going to, before we have a mother's going to come with the, I don't know why I'm so tongue-tied today. Mother's going to come with the call to salvation and the benediction, and after that, we're going to go into our communion service, and then we'll have our talk in the sanctuary. We are running a little behind schedule this morning. Amen?
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Are we going to hear the Fred Hammond song?
Amen.
Yes, if you like.
Yes, Bread of Life.
Okay. After Mother's
thank
close.
You. I'm going to get my communion out.
Amen.
Amen. So, if there's anybody out there who want to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, this is your time now. Amen. God has made a way for you to accept Jesus Christ if you have it in your heart today. Amen.
Amen.
So all you have to do is say this short prayer after me.
Mm-hmm.
Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I now take him into my heart.
I now take him into my heart.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
Well, I just want to let you know that if anybody out there have said this short prayer, we welcome you, welcome you, welcome you to the body of Christ. I don't know how many of you are there are. There might be one. There might be 10, 20. I don't know. But God knows. And
yes,
we welcome you, and also all heaven is rejoicing over you.
Amen.
Now, if you don't have a church home, the Holy Spirit have come to reside inside of you. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to the right place, whether it be online or in the church. I don't know. It might be some churches open or wherever it is. So that you can hear the word, that you can grow and mature, and that you can have fellowship with other believers. So again, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
As it says in John chapter 14, verse 25 and 26, Jesus says,
My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, and let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen. And at this time, we're going to have a selection, and I'm following the selection. We will come back with our communion service. Amen.
Bread of life, sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were.
Jesus, that's what we call you. The Lord's service is for the Lord's people, those born again and living a holy life. The scriptures are clear that each person bears responsibility before God to determine his or her fitness to partake. So let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 28, where it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." But the participation is not optional for the believer. Christ said in 1 Corinthians 11 and 24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' This do, if you know that your child has prayed and received Christ, and that he has a basic understanding of the symbolism involved, then he, she, or they should be free to participate. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 24, 'For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Now we will have a short prayer for this bread, which is the body of Christ, by our very own Sister Barbara.
Precious Lord, take our hands, lead us on, let us stand through the storm, through the light. We thank you, God. Thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see another day, a day we've never seen before, a day before your resurrection, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for the bread of life, for your life, for your sacrifice on that cruel cross. God, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Bless each and every person that's on this line this morning. Bless their families. Bless all of us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Now, let us eat together. Praise be to God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, 25 through 26, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And now we will have a short prayer for the representation of the blood of our Lord and Savior by our very own Pastor Kathy. Amen.
Amen. Precious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you this morning, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
For the blood that was shed, oh God, as we do it in remembrance of you, that we will not forget the strength, the power that is within the blood. We thank you, oh God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. We thank you for your blood on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And let us all drink together. So may the Lord bless and keep you, that you might grow strong in the image of Christ to redemption. And let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. And now at this time, I'm going to turn this part of our program over to our very own Associate Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry, who's going to come with our talk in the sanctuary, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. It's in your hands, Pastor Kathy.
Thank you, Evangelist Hilda. Good morning, good afternoon. Let me see what time it is. It's still morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Praise.
Good morning.
Trust, believe that all is well this morning.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God bless you, Mother. How are you feeling, young lady?
Oh, I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling fine.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, well, we're still praying. We bless God for everybody on the line.
I thank you for your prayer.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, we are never going to stop praying. I think everybody get online and be saying, let's pray for Mother, let's pray for Mother. Then we pray for each other.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know how folks get out there, they get all caught up and start praying, they forget to pray for themselves. I'm not one of those people. I pray for everybody and include myself.
Well, they say you should pray for yourself too.
Yeah, you know? But you know, people get caught up and they start praying for this and that one. I said, you ain't gonna pray for yourself?
Yeah, you gotta pray for yourself too.
Amen.
Yeah, because what happens is while you're praying for all of these people, they don't realize because you are that person that's praying for everybody, that attack is gonna come on you first.
Mm-hmm.
To try to keep you from praying. So that's why you got to cover yourself too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to cover yourself.
You got to cover yourself. Yes, ma'am. Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you, oh God, for yet another opportunity to come into your presence to discuss your topics, oh God, to remember you, oh God, to remember each other, to love on you and to love on one another, oh God. Thank you for all that you've done. All that you're doing and all that you're going to do, we bless your holy name. Have your way with this talk hour right now. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Ooh,
amen.
I'm telling you, it is a good, good Saturday. Me and Pastor Susan are stuck over here with these two young men. We got our grand boys today. Yes, we do. Yeah, the little couple decided they were going to go have a night out, so they brought us the grandkids.
All right, nothing wrong with that.
And we took them for Chinese yesterday, and me and Pastor Stephen, I think we were eating chicken or beef or something, and we looking at the little 11-year-old, he over there busting up crab legs, and we like, what in the world? What in the world? That's an acquired taste, you hear me? I am not thinking about no crab leg. And then I was looking at how much effort he had to put in to get that little piece of meat that came out of it.
Yeah, and it's a very small piece of meat, too, all that.
It's a very small piece of meat. I'm going, oh, I ain't got time for all that. You got to break all them legs up, and then it's a light, little, tiny piece of meat in there? Oh, I don't think so. He better be glad it was on the buffet, because he surely wouldn't have got it, because I know they charge an arm and a leg for that little piece of meat.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't eat that stuff.
But anyway, mm-hmm. praying everyone is doing well. It is Easter weekend. Everybody should be excited. Hey, everybody preparing a good, big, old, wonderful meal?
No.
Really?
Really?
Evangelist Hilda, you telling me you're not going to cook?
Mm-hmm.
God, that's a
I'm not.
That's the first. I'm shocked. You must be going to somebody out.
No, I wasn't invited anywhere, and right now it's really not too safe to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Oh, it's still not safe? Y'all still not released?
No. I guess they are released. It's me. I mean, you know, I'm not the one going anywhere.
But you're not cooking, not even a cake, an apple cake, something.
No, nothing at all.
Wow. Glad I'm not coming to your house this year. Ooh,
well, listen,
I've been hurt.
If I was having company, I would cook. But I'm not going to cook a big meal for one person. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, because you don't know how to make a small meal. So, yeah.
No, I
you
don't.
You would be making a big meal.
And I don't have, you know, everybody like I used to. And, you know, the body
coming in. Everybody going their way.
They don't do it all that cooking anymore.
Evangelist Hilda.
Yes, ma'am.
Evangelist Hilda.
Yes,
I'll be
ma'am.
Right over. I'll be right over.
Mother said, don't worry about a thing, sweetheart. I'm on my way.
But then I will go in that kitchen and start throwing them pots together, baby.
Mother said, wait a minute. Did she say she don't cook and she don't have cook? I'm on my way, Evangelist Hill. Everybody wants a good Sunday meal. Yes, Lord. And if you go to Evangelist Hill's house, you definitely going to get a good Sunday meal.
Oh, yeah, man. You're going to have choices of meat, vegetables, dogs,
she gonna do it
whatever, and dessert.
You know what? I still can't find anyone. I've been to so many houses, and I've talked to so many people, and I don't know if it was just a family thing or what is the deal with that apple cake. Nobody makes that jelly cake. What is that?
I don't know why.
And I'm going, wait a minute, but my family made it every holiday. They had that jelly cake out there. And I'm thinking, you know, nobody would have thought to put jelly on the cake, but that jelly was so good.
But, you know, I used to go to people's house. The church I used to go to, that's what they used to make, that jelly cake.
Oh, really?
Wow. They
okay.
were from the
okay, I thought it was a family thing.
They would sit around the table. They would make that cake with the jelly on it. I had that.
I'm telling you, that was the absolute best.
The sure was.
Yes.
That cake was the absolute. And the next day, because it would be so moist. That was the absolute best. But anyway, we bless God for Apostle R.D. Wiggins, the visionary of the line. We thank God for our very own Evangelist Hilda, who is the assistant pastor with him. Thank God for her. We thank God for Apostle Mother Wiggins. Thank God for her strength. We continue to pray the woman of God's strength. We thank God for Sister Barbara. We thank God for Apostle Jackson. I know she out there running, ripping, doing the work of the Lord. Dr. Bernie Turner, Prophetess Washington, and the love of my life who's sitting right next to me. Thank you, God.
Hi, Pastor
Stephen DuBose.
Amen.
How are y'all doing?
Blessings.
Amen.
Mother said it's wonderful to hear your voice.
It's good to hear yours too, Mother.
Amen.
We missed you.
Yes, ma'am. I've been in the background. I've not been away. I've been in the background.
I know
this. Way in the background, huh, y'all?
Yes.
But hey, he's still on board, so we bless God for that. Let's get into this topic real quick. We are so grateful for communion. Y'all know how I feel about communion. Every time I hear Fred Hammond sing that song, Bread of Life. I just, I just want to fall out on the ground and just wallow there for a minute. I love it. I love it. I'll never get tired of hearing that songbird.
Yeah, me either. I never get tired of hearing it.
Yeah, I'll never get tired of hearing it. Some people get tired of hearing the same song. That's not a song for me.
That's right.
That is God's word being brought to life, you know?
Amen.
So I'll never get tired of hearing Bread of Life. So
Amen.
We bless God for communion today. I tell you, I must going to take, and this week I'm so happy, 3 communions, because I know they're going to do it again tomorrow. I am going to take every bit of communion there is. I want it all. You know, when I was thinking earlier on in the week, I want to take communion with somebody. I didn't dream that I would be taking it 3 times this week, but I am so happy that I have the opportunity to participate. Thank God for it. And I was so glad when Evangelist Hilda chimed in and said, we're running a little behind, but we're going to take communion. I said, oh, bless the Lord. I did not miss communion. So thank God for that. Here is what the topic is about today. The question is how to respond when a person says, and then there's a bunch of things that people are going to say, okay? So remember in your mind, how do I respond when a person says, okay, I'm going to start with an easy one. I'm a good person. I don't need Jesus. How do you respond to that?
You
got people that say it all the time. They say, I'm a good person. I don't need Jesus. What they're really trying to say is, I'm a good person, so I don't need to go to church.
Oh, heck no.
So how do you respond to that?
There's nobody good but God.
Okay.
That's what I would respond to them. I tell them that, sir, there's nobody good but God. We all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory.
Amen.
Okay.
You know, I hear them say it a lot on the radio.
And that's what I'm saying. They do say
that was a good person and they're so good and this is that. I said, but there's nobody good but God.
That's right.
Nobody.
And some of them get so good, they say, I'm a good person. I don't need to go to church, right? And but they're sending their tithes and offerings with somebody to take it to church for them. So you know what they're thinking in their little mind when they do that? They're thinking they can buy their way into heaven.
Oh, no.
Yep.
That's out.
That's true.
Forget that one.
Because they're sitting there, Lord, I paid my tithes and offerings.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? You never came into a relationship with me. Never. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of people that are still saying that even now, they are a good person and they don't need to go to church.
They think they don't.
And this is the thing. God says, well, when they come up to you, you who is an ambassador for Christ, and you know me, how do you respond when they say that?
There's nobody good but him.
Exactly. They say, I'm a good person, and I don't need to go to church. Mother says there's nobody good but God, right?
Right.
And they say, I don't need to go to church. Huh?
Excuse me, I said, I've never heard anyone, no one said that to me before, but I will tell them that you may not need him now, but before it's all said and done, unless you want to bust hell wide open, you need to start a relationship with him.
Okay, so if you don't want to go to hell, you better get into a relationship with Jesus. Me, if somebody says, I'm a good person, and I tell you, I don't know why, but I hear it all the time. I'm a good person. I don't really need to go to church. And I'm so crazy, I don't even be thinking about all that. You know what I said? I do. That's all I said. I said, oh, well, I do. And go about my
business. You know what else you can say, pastor? I keep wanting to call you apostle, Pastor Kathy. What else you could say when they say that they don't need to go to church?
Tell them I am the church.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one, Mother.
Say, well, you know what? Then you don't need to be talking to me because I'm the church.
That's a good one.
Yes.
I'm lying because when my brothers get in trouble, they will call me for prayer.
Each one of us is the church. The church.
That's a good one. I could use that. Because you have people that don't want to go to church, and they don't know if they believe or not, but let them get in trouble. They will call you in a heartbeat for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for me. Okay.
That's true.
So I could use
That's
that.
True.
I am the church. Okay, here's the next one. How to respond when a person says, oh, my teenager's getting married. I want you to come to the wedding.
What?
That's your response, Evangelist Hilda?
What? Oh, you said teenager.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me?
They're saying my teenager is getting married, and I want you to come to the wedding.
Mm-mm.
What's wrong with that, though? I mean, if they're 9 years of age.
Okay, when I say, let me clarify. When I say my teenager is getting married, I'm talking this person is 17 and under.
Oh, okay.
No way.
Well, they're going to get married whether you come or not, so it's just a matter
and
of
not
being
only
right.
They're the parent. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Of that child.
So what would you say, Mother?
They're the parent. They're in charge of their child and everything like that. What could I say?
Okay. That's
what
it.
Could I tell them?
Sister Barbie.
You know what I mean? If I'm close with them, maybe I could talk to them about, you know what I mean? Maybe do you think that maybe they're too young to get married?
Well,
you know
here's the
saying?
Thing, Mother. If this person is telling you my teenager's getting married, or by this time you already know they're a teenager, so they say, Billy getting married, can you come to the wedding? That's somebody that's close to you. So how would you
mm-hmm.
respond?
Well, I would
say
we're
a parent, okay.
Well, if they're close to me, most likely I already knew before, you know, a while before time that they were going to get married. So maybe would have, you know, discussed it with that person and say, well, you know, maybe they get married too early right now, you know.
Okay.
You know, what's your opinion? That's your opinion. You know.
It is your opinion. You're right, Mother. It is our opinion.
Yeah.
Sister Barbara, what would you say?
Well, hopefully it will be a formal invitation and not like a word-of-mouth thing coming from one of the parents. And I would say I would be delighted to come. My pleasure.
Okay. Evangelist Hilda, what would you say?
Ooh, I get over the initial shock, then, you know, all kinds of things will be running through the head. Why is this child getting married so young? Is they pregnant? You know, all of those things. And then I was like,
You're right. You wouldn't be stuck. I believe you. You would be stuck. You wouldn't know what to say.
Absolutely.
I would respond. I'd be looking at it going, 17, you know that ain't legal, right?
That's why the parents is in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying they
it's
get
not
married.
Legal for the person to get married at 17.
Yeah, it's not legal for them to get married at 17.
Depends on what state it's in.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I was talking about the child. When I say it's not legal, I'm saying for the child to get married so young. You got to be 18 or something. But like
they
she said, it's in certain states.
Because,
you know,
and
the season comes.
I could just add to it. Is that by the time you're getting the invitation, that's already been discussed.
Right.
So it's not even open for discussion.
That's true, too.
But they've determined that that's what they plan to do with their lives. They're going to get married. You either go or you don't go. That's all. That's all decline.
Yeah, but I, for me, I don't know about anybody else. For me, if it's a close friend and they come to me and they say, Billy getting married, and I know Billy is 16 or 17 or whatever, I'm not even going to say that. I'm going to look at them and go, well, no, I don't want to go to the wedding. Oh, yeah, I'm going. You know I'll be there. I know me. My mouth is going to open up and say all kind of stuff. So, you know, but that's up to the person, and it's just our opinion. I'm still going to say something because you're close to me, you know. So I know I have something to say. I'll be crazy saying stuff, but I'll say something. What, the girl pregnant? What's going on? Why you got to get married? You know, go through all of those things. I know I'm going to say something.
Because that's
chances are, even if it's a close person, guess what? They're not going to tell you until the last minute. Even though they've made up their mind, this is what they're going to do, they're probably not going to share it with you to the last minute. Because you know what they say? I don't want nobody trying to give me no negativity. Better. So they're going to wait to the last minute. But by that time, when you tell me, I'm in shock. So I'm liable to say all kind of stuff because I know we close. But we got to be close. If we're not close, I ain't got nothing to say. Okay, here's the next thing. How do you respond to a person that says, I'm not hurting anyone by what I'm doing?
What are they doing?
Whatever they're doing in their lifestyle, they're saying, I'm not hurting anybody, you know. So they could be lying, they could be stealing, but you know that what they're doing is wrong. But they're saying, yeah, thank you, God, that's it. Whatever they're doing, it is wrong. But they're saying, I'm not hurting anyone by doing it.
Well, you bring it to their attention that it's wrong before the eyes of God. It might even be an abomination if it's something like, I was looking at the news yesterday and they had this professor, I believe he was a college professor, and he didn't recognize a transgender person as their new assignment. In other words, it might have been a female trying to be a male or vice versa. And so he addressed them as the way they were biologically made, and he was brought up on charges. And they were saying, this is on Fox News, the professor was right. You don't have to bring your politics into my classroom. If you are a female and you're trying to be a male, I still recognize you as a female. And I don't have to say, you know, to be politically correct, to call you a male, because you're not. You know, that's you're not going to put that on me. I see you as a female. Your name is Amy so-and-so,
right,
not Andrew
right.
so-and-so. So you
exactly.
still Amy to me. You know, you're looking like a boy. You're still a female, and I can call you as such. They backed him up. The college backed him up.
Good. I'm glad
good.
To hear that.
Absolutely.
I thought it was going to go the other way. I'm glad to hear that.
Yes, even the Pope is saying that he does not recognize homosexual marriages, two men or two women. That's an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
That is an abomination.
Yes,
I don't care who you are. It's against God.
Yes, it is. On that note, guess what? We've had people come to the church that were transgenders, and they wanted to get baptized. My pastor, bless her heart, I love how she handled it. She said, I got to baptize anybody that wants to be baptized, but I'm going to baptize you how God brought you in this world.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. And I looked at her. I said, wow, I really love you. And she said, I'm going to baptize everybody that wants to be baptized, but I'm going to baptize you how God brought you in here.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, well, you know who I am. Mm-hmm. No, you a man. I got to baptize you as a man.
Right.
And she said, if you don't want me to baptize you the way you came into this world, then you might want to find somebody else to baptize you.
Good.
And his thing was, well, what if I say I want to be baptized, but I don't want anybody here when you do it?
Same difference.
Same thing.
And she said, that's up to you if you want to see anybody watch you go down in your glorious moment, but you're going down as a man.
Come on now.
That's right. And so she said, but I will tell you, Minister Kathy got to be there. She my alma mater. She got to be. I said to myself, well, I got to be there. He don't want nobody. And he looked back at me and he said, okay, I can live with that. Mm-hmm. But needless to say, he never did do it.
What? After all of that?
He did not do it because even though he was going to be baptized, and she was, pastor was willing to baptize him, but baptize him as a man. He didn't want to recognize himself as a man.
Okay.
So he didn't even want to come to Christ saying, I'm a man, because his thing was, I'm a woman. You're not a woman. Mm-hmm. You're a man.
That's
dressed
right.
Like a woman. But he didn't want to do it. He took us off the hook. The bishop told my pastor, I wouldn't agree to do nada. No. If you're not a member at my church, I don't have to do all this for you. And so we're like, no, that ain't what God says. Because there are a lot of people that come in off the street, want to join the church, want to be a part of the church. Some people don't even want to join the church. They just want to keep coming, but you recognize them as you recognize the rest of your members. So I was like, that's kind of hard, you know. But the person, he never did come back because his thing was he didn't want to get baptized as a man.
Well, he didn't really want to get baptized, if that's the case.
Well, he did, but he wanted to be a woman, you know.
Nope.
But she said, I have to baptize you what your legal name was when you was born. You was a man.
That's right.
So, okay, so that's that one. Now, how do you respond to a person that says, I've had 3 abortions?
Oh, God.
Mother, Apostle Mother Wiggins, how would you respond?
Well, that would be hard for me to respond to that. Because that happened to me, too. I did that, you know. I would tell them that right at this point in my life, that is not wise for them to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because you're murdering somebody in your womb. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And you shouldn't do that. When I was young, I did the same thing. You know, I would tell them, I'd say, well, that ain't good. That's not good in God's sight. You know what I mean? The person is put into your womb, and you kill that person. You know, you kill that fetus. That's not right to do that. I don't agree with that now. I really don't agree with it. Maybe unless that person is, I don't know if they're ill or they can't breathe. I don't know. If they have something where a person is very ill in some way. I don't know. But it's not right to do that. It's not right to have those abortions because God is going to hold us responsible for all them millions and billions of babies that was killed. You know what I'm saying? You know, hold us responsible. I guess we're being held responsible for that. That's not good.
Okay. Sister Barbara, what are your thoughts?
You said the person says, I had 3 abortions?
Yes, I have had 3 abortions.
Okay, so at that point, I mean, all you can do is kind of tell them to make their peace with God because it's a done deal. It's already been done. Had they come to you prior to having it, then you could have probably tried to talk them out of doing it. But at this point, it's done. You can't take it back. You can't put the baby back in the womb. Just try to encourage them to let them know that they need to repent. It is a sin. Confess their sin, repent. Go to God with that and see what, you know, God has to say. But he forgives the sinner. So
yes, he does.
And if they can abstain, you know, from sex, I know it might be hard for them.
Well, go somewhere and get married.
Well,
you don't want to get married unless you really, you know what I mean, unless you really want to get married.
Unless you're in love with that person, you
want to
get married for the baby.
Legs closed. You don't want to love them and just keep your legs closed.
That's it. Evangelist Hilda, what's your thoughts on that one?
I don't believe in abortions. I'm sorry. I don't, you know, condemn people who have abortions, but I pray for them because it's a sin and it's a life that you're taking. And some people, you know, lose their mind behind it. Some people turn to drugs. I mean, like, you know, it's a hard thing to do. But then it depends on, you know, the circumstances, if the person was, you know, raped or whatever. But still, I don't believe in abortions because that's taking
okay.
a life.
But here's the thing. You don't have to be sorry because that's how you feel. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel. That's your opinion. And everybody's entitled to their opinion. You don't have to be sorry about that because I know you started saying, I'm sorry, I don't believe in it. But, you know, hey, this is how you feel. This is how you feel. You don't have to be sorry. But my thing is, if the person comes to me and says, I've had 3 abortions, right, I've got to look at the person as to, this is someone that's probably reaching out because why are you telling me this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm looking at it like this person wants to get some peace because it does, like Evangelist Hilda said, it does affect your mind, your heart, your spirit. So why are you telling me this, right? Because I've got to think that if a person had 3 abortions, something's going on within them. And now for them to come and say, I've had 3 abortions, you got to look at them and go, okay, what else are you trying to tell me? What it, you know, because there's something more. I think that person is reaching out at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's some people that could have 6 abortions and don't even faze them. I did what I had to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking that if this person comes in a heartfelt way and they know your lifestyle, you're a Christian, and they go, I had 3 abortions, I think they're reaching out to understand how does God feel about that, what's going to happen to me. You know, to me, I think they're reaching out at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's so many reasons that people have abortions. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
One of
yeah.
the biggest reasons is they believe that there is no other way out. They believe
That's
there's
true.
No other way out.
They
don't. Some people have gotten raped. They don't want to be reminded of that.
Right.
And it could have been a family member. You know what I mean? So it's
yeah.
so many reasons. But is any of the reasons good reasons?
No.
For them, it probably was. For them, it probably was.
Yeah.
Like I said, they thought they had no other way out.
Mm-hmm.
You know
and
what I mean? When you go
sometimes.
To those abortion clinics, they don't sit. You don't got nobody sitting back there going, you know what? You don't have to do this. God is going to love you regardless. You don't have nobody doing all that for you. They say, come in this room, sit up on the table, do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You know, you don't, you go to these abortion clinics, you don't have people. Well, maybe now you do because people are being touched in their hearts. And there's some people that took that job and they didn't know why they took the job and found out later, God has used me to try to let somebody know. You have another way out. You don't have to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The mental stress you're going to go through as well as your body, you know?
Yeah.
So
another thing, sometimes people feel like they can't afford it. Or either they'll have no job, the fellow have no job, you know what I mean? And they
yeah.
can't afford to take care of this child. You know, maybe they have a lot of children and they're getting another one and they feel like
yeah.
they can't afford another kid, a child, you know, something like that, you know.
That's true. But
God,
like
is able.
I said, the person who is going through it is thinking in their mind, I don't have anything else. There's no other way for me. This is my only way out. For whatever reason, you know, whether it's been they can't afford it, their rate, whatever. They're thinking in their mind, this is the best thing for me right now.
Well, can I say something also? Instead of, I've been in that predicament, but another way out would be, and I know a lot of times the women are kind of left alone after they find themselves, I'll say, knocked up. But what they could do is put the child up for adoption.
Yeah.
You know, go through with the pregnancy and let someone else have it. It may be a family member. Somebody might be trying to have a baby and they can't, you know, they're not fertile and they can't have a baby. So you can give your baby or whatever it is, the procedure, you can know what the procedure is. But rather than, you know, have a baby's life terminated, you can put it up for adoption.
True.
Yeah.
You can. You can. A lot of times for the people that are on the receiving end of that baby, it can be risky. Why? Because once the mother goes through all of that and that baby's kicking on the inside of her, you know what I mean? She's feeling the baby at night. She don't want to give it up at the end.
Exactly.
That's a chance, too.
It's a little bit harder for her to release then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, that is another option. Okay, one more before we bring it to a close. The last one is... flirting is harmless. How do you respond to a person that says flirting is harmless?
Depends on your status.
Okay, when you say it depends on your status, what does that mean?
Are you with someone? Are you married? Are you engaged? You got a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you're flirting? That's the problem. Why are you doing that? You got somebody.
Okay, but what if they're not married?
Okay, you got two single people and they're flirting?
Yeah, but you got a person that has a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a man or a woman, but they see somebody else and they're flirting.
Well, then apparently the relationship that they're in is not one that they're committed to. And if they find something better, they're gonna leave their good thing and go with something better.
It must not be a good thing if they get ready to leave, huh?
Well, it's good unless something better comes along, yeah. They'll go with it. Some people settle. Some people I've talked to, one young lady I spoke to years ago, I don't know if she was unhappy or not, but she said she married the first man that asked her, and she was a teenager, I think, at the time, and she regretted it, you know, like 10 years later or something.
Wow.
So you don't have to jump into the ocean like that. Wait a while and see. You may find somebody that you love. You may find somebody better, look better, act better, treat you better, or whatever. So you don't jump into the first thing. And if you do... not jump into it, you may be drawn back together years later. I've heard of situations where people were high school sweethearts and they got separated. One got somebody, you know, the other somebody. 50 years later, they get back together. They're widows and widowers.
Yeah.
They're back together.
That's
each other,
true.
You know, where they left off 50 years before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
Mother Wiggin, what's your thought?
Committed, you don't do that.
Sometimes people flirt, but they have no intention of leaving their partner. They either have no intention of leaving them, and sometimes they flirt, and if they're not that serious, you know, they just want to see how many people they can get. You know what I mean? There's so many reasons why people flirt. Sometimes they feel inferior, and they want to feel... better about themselves, so they flirt with somebody, you know, to see how far they can go with this person. But they have no intention. They don't care. Sometimes they don't have no love for them or nothing. They just flirt.
Okay. Okay. So how would you respond when the person says flirting is harmless?
Well, I tell them that it's not harmless. You know what I mean? Because when you flirt with somebody, you're giving them the impression that you might go all the way with them with something, and you might have no intention of doing that. You know what I'm saying? You're flirting with them, but they
it's like years ago, you know, I mean, somebody took you out and they fed you and all of that. They're looking for something from you now. You know what I mean? Because if you flirt with somebody, then they're looking for something from you. You know what I mean? And if you don't, if you have no intention, you have no thought of giving anything to them, you're just flirting. You know what I mean? Sometimes you'll get raped from flirting. You know what I'm saying?
Well, can I ask you a question too after that?
What?
After Matilda gives her opinion.
Oh, I say one more thing? Could I say one more thing before Hilda comes on? I was at a party years ago, and this girl used to wear a lot of these provocative clothes and stuff. I knew her. We all knew each other, right? She was a really beautiful-looking girl. And she was flirting, right? She would just get out there and flirt with the fellas and dance with them, be all up close with them and rubbing on them, and she had her breasts is out and all of that. Do you know they took that girl in the bathroom and raped her?
Mm-hmm.
All them fellas ganged up on that girl. You know why? Because you give the man gets excited when you do that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have to suffer the consequences of your actions. They raped that girl in that bathroom. They closed that bathroom door, and we didn't even know that was going on. We was out there dancing and all of that, and they was in there raping her. A lot of fellas. They got that hot like that. They raped that girl. You know, you got to be careful.
You're the Mr. Fellas?
I'm sorry?
You're the Mr. Fellas? It was a gang that went.
Well, nobody paid it attention because the music was going and we was dancing and everything, and come to find out, they took her in the bathroom and raped her.
Yeah, that's terrible.
A lot of fellas.
Wow.
Now, this is what she was doing. She had all her breasts hanging out, and you know what I mean? And she was all up in their face and all of that.
But you know something? You said she was raped and she had this out and that out, but rape is not necessarily a crime of love and passion. They say rape is oftentimes something for hatred. They don't love you.
They didn't hate her. They got excited, sexually excited on this girl.
Yeah, I understand. But I'm saying sometimes they say rape is not that you don't get hate and loves you. You get because he just doesn't like you. You know.
If you don't intend to give anything up, I don't think you should be tempting anybody with no what is it.
Okay, I'm going to have to wrap it up because of the time. But Evangeline Tilda, did you want to comment on flirting is harmless? What is your thought? Yes or no?
No, it's not harmless because the Bible tells us when you look at a woman in a certain way, you have already committed adultery in the sight of God. So, no,
it's
not harmless.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Me, I don't believe that flirting is harmless. You're not only hurting the person you're flirting with because you don't intend to follow through, the person that you're with, you're hurting. So I don't think flirting is harmless. I think it's something else. Sister Barbara, before I wrap it up, there's something you wanted to bring in?
Yeah, I just wanted to say sometimes when you're looking at a person of the opposite sex and before you could even say anything good, they tell you, I'm married. And nobody asked you if you were married or not, but
that's a good one. I like it, though. I like it.
But let me say, you're having a nice conversation. Ain't nobody trying to get into nothing, you know, like that. And then you say, I'm married. Okay. It does change the conversation, though. But
well, you know, the reason why he probably said that is because maybe you look like a threat. You know what I mean?
A threat.
It's like a threat.
Threat
you say, well, you know what, I'm married.
Like, yeah, don't even try to tempt me because, you know, I don't want to go there. I don't know.
Nobody's trying to tempt. Nobody's breast is hanging out. It's just a conversation. And you say...
But you know what? Before I go, before I close out on this, if a woman dresses provocative, her breast is, you know, exposed or whatever, and her dress is short and all of that, that doesn't give a man a right to rape her.
That's true.
But I don't want to dress that way. But because she chooses to dress that way, that is not an invitation for you to come and molest me or rape me.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't mean he's slut. It doesn't mean
you know what I mean?
Sleep with anything and everything.
It doesn't mean that. She might be thinking in her little old mind or whatever her mind is that she just wants to look sexy.
Exactly.
Look at Patti LaBelle and them. They do that thing where they, you know, expose the top part of their breast. They're not looking for nobody to rape them. They want to feel sexy
right.
in their own way.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know, but they get aroused,
feel
you know?
Why yeah, but
that?
I
that's
can't
okay,
stop.
But
listen,
aroused,
a man will get aroused if you got on a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. You get aroused.
They get aroused. But I just want to add.
You can
well,
have
you
on
know,
a sweatshirt, they're going to get aroused.
Yeah, I just want, and then they blame it on the woman. Cover your legs. You know, you catch it on the front row without a prayer cloth over you, hanging over you. But anyway, a lot of the Christian ladies, especially if you go to a concert, they got the bust out. I don't think that's quite appropriate. You can have a low neck top or a dress or whatever, but not with all the cleavage showing. It's a Christian thing. What do you think?
Right. I do believe there is a certain standard that we as women of God or Christians, we need to sustain a certain standard. You know what I mean? My thing is this, and this is what I tell everybody. When you go to work in that personnel manual, they tell you how they want you to dress for that job. And you adhere to it because it's your job. So why would you lower standards for God?
Amen.
And he gives you liberty. He says, come to me as you are. But he's expecting you to respect the deity within him to come in a certain way.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right.
He's allowing you to uphold that standard without putting all that control over you. He's allowing you to do it. I know that once I got to a certain level in my relationship with God, after a while you feel kind of funny coming in there. You're like, okay, let me pull this down, you know. And I love the fact that God does not make us. He lets us do it. Why? Because if you love me, that's going to bring about the change.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're an ambassador for Christ. You don't want to come out representing with your cleavage and all. You don't want to do that, you know.
Right.
But bless God. Thank you, God, for this conversation. I love you. It was good. There was five more, but we don't have time. Maybe another time. Thank God for all of you. It has been a wonderful, wonderful discussion. I thank God for it. It's Easter weekend, and there's still some people out there that are not saved. It is your time to shine, right? While it's Easter and everybody's getting dressed and they're running to the churches, or you may be on Zoom or whatever. Say to yourself, you know what, Lord, I want to get in the number. I want to come to you. I want to accept your son as my Lord and Savior. I want to be a Christian. I want to know how it feels to be on the inside with you blessing me. You've been on the outside and he still blessed you. Now come and see what it feels like to come on the inside. Just open your mouth and say, Father God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. Come into my life. Let God know. I believe Jesus died on that cross for my sins. Come into my life. I want to make you my Lord and Savior. And that's all there is to it. You know,
that's
we can give you this whole long drug out speech, but God has simplified it so that it would be easy for you to come and receive him as your Lord and Savior. He wants to love on you. He wants to bless you. And all the things you've done wrong, no matter what it is, he wants to take it and throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. And show you mercy. That's the God that we serve. He's a merciful, forgiving God. And won't you come right now and give your life to Christ? Right? So when your people ask you, you could say, you know what I did on Easter? I got up and say, Lord, I've had a change of heart. I want to be a Christian. I want to follow your ways. I want to accept your son as my Lord and Savior. I did something different this year. Yeah, let that be your testimony.
Amen.
We bless God for all of you. Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you, oh God, that you allowed us to have this conversation. It was spoken in love. It was conversed in love. And we thank you for that. We pray that it's been enlightening to others that may have heard us over the radio, over the internet, that they're hearing something that fits in their heart and say, so they get to that point and say, you know what? God does still love me.
Yes.
In spite of it all, he does mm-hmm. still love me.
Yes,
and
does.
So with that, they're running back into the house and saying, God, forgive me. God, I love you. So we bless God that everybody's going to have a safe weekend, a wonderful, blessed Easter. Mother's going to go to Evangelist Hilda's house and get a beautiful dinner. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, especially for hanging on that cross in our place. We thank you. We love you. We honor and adore you. God bless all of you. Back to you, Evangelist Hilda.
God, thank you, Pastor Kathy. Ladies, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your resurrection.
Easter. Yes.
I'll be here for the potato salad and the sweet potatoes. The jelly cake.
Oh, my goodness. All of that is going to be embedded in my mind that's what I'm going to be eating on Sunday.
The macaroni and cheese. The big chicken.
Yes, yes.
Barbecue spirit.
I'm going to call my sister to see if she's cooking. And if she ain't cooking, then I'll be right here in my house praising the Lord. And
I don't want you to feel bad.
Knowing you're going to fall.
I'm going to be there for barbecue spare ribs.
All right. Love you all. You have a blessed one.
You too. Hey,
I got to run. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Love you all. Shalom.
Love you too. Happy Resurrection.
Thank you.
And on that note,
enjoy your dinner with Hilda.
I can taste it right now, Hilda.
Yes, me too, Mother.
You can pass it right.
I taste it right now. I tell you, one bite of that spare ribs. Oh, my goodness, how good it tastes.
Let me tell you, pass it right to Hilda. So I don't have to come this way.
Absolutely, Mother. Oh, my goodness. You enjoy your day, Mother.
Okay, you too.
I will.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye. On that note, we're going to open up heaven's doors. Boy, that spare rib tastes so good.
Yeah. sins, but I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.